Welcome to the Visegrad Insight podcast from Central Europe on Central Europe.
Good morning and welcome to our special podcast on the political situation in Bulgaria, where the grand coalition of two rival parties, the centrist PP and center-right GERB, fell apart this week in a dispute over a cabinet reconstruction. My name is Adam Jase, and my guest today is Spasimir Domaracki, a political scientist and lecturer at the Warsaw University. Spasimir is also a Visegrad Insight Fellow and a leading analyst on Central Europe and the Balkans. Spas, thank you very much for joining us.
Thank you, Adam, for having me.
So, what happened in a nutshell?
Indeed, it is a very interesting and at the same time politically extremely sad situation that we are observing in the in Bulgaria over the last month. As you have mentioned, although the Bulgarians themselves avoid the use of the word grand coalition, in particular because there was a very deep mistrust between the two constitutive parties that created this, that provided this support and majority for the government in the Bulgarian parliament. They rather used the term no coalition, that was showing the fact that they do not reject the fact that both the former Borisov party GERB and the reformist parties of Continual Change and Democratic Bulgaria remain the main rivals for each other. And that means that over the last 9 months, they had a shared program, or at least a list of priorities, which they were pursuing together. And formally, certain achievements were being made. Probably the most important that will have an impact also on our further discussion is the constitutional changes that were being introduced to the Bulgarian constitution with the votes of these two parties and with the support of the Movement for Rights and Freedoms, the party that formally represents the Turkish interests in Bulgaria, the Turkish minority interests, and in practical terms constitutes a very specific form of corporate interests. And nevertheless, the two parties, GERB and the coalition of We Continue Change and Democratic Bulgaria, 9 months ago agreed on a very weird form that was aiming to resolve Bulgaria's political standstill. And they made a coalition that was supposed to last for 18 months with the decision that after 9 months, there will be a rotation. In other words, the prime minister, which was for the first 9 months, Nikolai Denkov from the reformist parties, from We Continue Change, will be replaced by Maria Gabriel, the former Bulgarian commissioner in the European Commission. And a close aide to Boyko Borisov and, of course, member of GERB party. Things seem to be similar, but as usual, the devil is in the details. And what they managed to agree on 9 months ago was that the prime minister will be changed and that if there will be any decision to change the ministers, then both prime ministers, the current and the next one, will agree together. Well, as it turned out, this obviously didn't work as was being planned, and today we are in a situation that we are heading towards another early elections. But if we are to go into the details, we need to be very clear about two things. Already some midway the first 9 months, it became apparent that Borisov has a plan. The plan was to weaken his political rivals from the reformist parties through cooperation with him, something that he has mastered over the years in previous coalition governments. And it seemed that this time It worked as well, because after 9 months of co-ruling, the support for the reformist parties dropped by 7% in 7% in comparison to GERB. And what is also important is that despite the fact that they were former coalition partners, GERB didn't use any single occasion to question the qualities and the activities of the government, and at the same time managed to push forward several very disputable from moral perspective nominations to various bodies, including the Constitutional Tribunal, gaining also the support of the reformist parties, which undoubtedly led to questions whether this behavior fits the main political credo of the reformist parties, which is to change the model of state capture that is associated with Boyko Borisov.
Right. Well, already from what you've said, there are so many follow-up questions. I basically don't know where to start. But first of all, I wanted to ask you if this is the correct understanding of what you just explained, that namely GERB, which is this traditional center-right party, but which has often been accused of wheeling and dealing and maybe state capture, as you mentioned, that they basically see this as an opportunity to go back to the voters and actually run the next government on their own.
Absolutely correct. Actually, there are several reasons why GERB made this move, and I think that it's very important to underline them. The first one is that over the 9 months, GERB realized that if they want to remain in power, they have to take steps that in practical terms are indeed dismantling this this model of state capture that is quite visible in Bulgaria, with the existence and presence of people connected to GERB and the movement on right of freedom and freedoms in every single institution. This loyalty and dependence play a crucial role in the problems of corruption and lack of functioning judiciary. So the cooperation with the reformist parties, despite the fact that it was allowing Borisov to be part and parcel of this whole process, at the same time was giving him some second thoughts that overall these developments are not beneficiary for him. Secondly, he managed, as I mentioned, to weaken his political opponents.
But can I ask you, sorry for interrupting, but this is also a very interesting point, because Denkov, you know, the current prime minister from the reformist group, which is called PP, and everyone calls it PP, even though there is a very long name behind it. You know, he's been perceived, particularly in Europe, as a very sort of reliable, sensible person. And also, you know, in terms of European affairs, he was seen as a sort of person taking Bulgaria away from links to Russia and more putting Bulgaria more in the European mainstream. So the question is, first, why is the support for PP falling, and Denkov in particular? And what does it mean for future policy course of Bulgaria?
Let me go one by one. First, by completing the last sentence that I wanted to say, then I will touch upon this question of PP, because it is also very important. The last point is why Borisov wants to go to elections is that he saw it as an opportunity to return to power, this time because over the last several elections, we had a very close tie between the two parties. And that's why he acknowledged also the reformist bloc, as you mentioned, the PP and Democratic Bulgaria as a main political opponent. Now, I think that he also notices that this decreasing support for PP gives him a chance to get a moral victory and thus to formally close the period in Bulgarian history that will be known as a period of a silent, I would say, revolution that was trying to change the model of Borisov. And if he returns with a complete sense of power, this will be over. Secondly, there was a lot of expectation that he was hoping that after the rotation he will gain much more power to PP, and it turned out that they were not eager to deliver it to him. So that was the issue. Now, why the PP's support is declining? It is especially because of the cooperation with Borisov. We need to remember that the raison d'être of PP is the change of the political system, the escape from the political model that keeps Bulgaria where it is, whether we like it or not, the poorest EU member state associated consistently with corruption and with popular existence of the feeling that the judiciary is not working. So people literally, it was a very difficult decision. I think that it was best said by one of the members of PP, who said that we were aware that to make a decision to enter into cooperation with Borisov was like a decision to enter into the mud, and we knew that we will not come out clean. But within this deadlock in Bulgarian politics, there was no other alternative in order to move reforms forward. Now, you absolutely correctly mentioned the question of this pro-European, pro-Western attitude of the current, already past form of government. And this will remain because these two political parties will most probably come out from the elections in a very similar form. We have certain expectations that the president might create his own political initiative, but regardless of that, the division of votes, the public support, I think that overall will remain very similar, and we will have a follow-up of this political deadlock after the next elections, except if we will not have some surprising developments in the meantime.
Right. So the bottom line is, as a matter of fact, both parties are sort of trying to return to their roots, if you will, because for PP, as you said, associating with GERB was damaging. So perhaps they decided to cut losses and also have an election where they can return to their own agenda.
Indeed. Well, this is the only way out of this very difficult situation. We need to be aware that we also have political formations in Bulgaria that represent the Russian interest, the far right nationalist and extremely populist party called Revival scores relatively well, and it will be a question whether it will be able to improve its score from the last elections when they made it third with over 14% of the vote, which is another matter of concern. As I said, this depends also a little bit on the move of the Bulgarian president, and if there will be an idea for the establishment of a new political format, it might still, let's say, attract some of the voters of these parties. Nevertheless, we need to be aware that, as you mentioned, another huge success of this coalition over the last 9 months was to secure the openly pro-Western attitude. It managed to achieve several very important things in terms of hard security, first and foremost. The government managed to move forward with the modernization of the Bulgarian army, something that was a no-go for over two decades. And secondly, it managed to deliver to Ukraine over 100 armored vehicles, which is also something that showed the political will. And in that sense, the retaining of the pro-Western attitude of the Bulgarian government is of crucial importance for the Western partners. And here I would like just to make a small remark. This is also what Borisov counted on, because he hoped and he actually used his very strong position in the European People's Party to get the support of Manfred Weber and to exert pressure on the reformist parties to support the government of Maria Gabriel. With his tweets, that was well, not very well received in Bulgaria itself. Ultimately, it turned out that, as we are aware, the international dimension of this very severe Bulgarian political struggle is, in a sense, secondary dimension to what happens on the ground.
Yes, I'm glad you mentioned the European context and the fact that GERB, despite its shortcomings, has been closely associated with the European Conservatives. This is the same party, the same grouping that includes the Christian Democrats in Germany, but also Poland's civic coalition. And of course, this is a grouping that hopes to win the European parliamentary elections in June. And of course, GERB's position, as you mentioned, is also going to be important there. The question I wanted to ask you, therefore, is there a chance that this snap election is going to happen simultaneously with the European elections, or do you think there will be two votes in the next few months?
If this is about to happen, then that means that the whole carousel of the mandates that for the creation of a new government needs to be done by the end of 8th of April. However, we see that goes extremely smoothly. Because already today the president will grant the third mandate to one of the smaller political parties in the Bulgarian parliament, and they already announced that they will return it. And in that sense, formally this is doable. What is much more important is the discussions around the dates of the elections, because there are a lot of concerns that the elections 2-in-1 will be confusing and they will miss the point. On the other hand, some voices argue that the 2-in-1 elections will increase the voters' turnout. It is not very clear. And of course, there is this financial matter that is being raised, that why to spend another 50 million euro on separate elections when we will have to vote anyway in European elections. It seems that for the sake of Bulgarian democracy and having in mind the lack of trust between the two partners, the constant questioning of the political system, it will be much better if these elections are separate than together. But of course, this is my private opinion, not something that is still clear within the Bulgarian political circles.
Thank you so much for this explanation. One last thing I wanted to ask, you know, Bulgaria was hoping to join the Eurozone from the beginning of next year. Given this political hiccup, do you think this is still a realistic objective?
Indeed, two issues. The first one is that The Schengen zone and the Eurozone were two of the main priorities that were bringing together these two parties. As we know, with the end of this month, Bulgaria, in a very awkward, I would say, halfway, joins the Schengen zone through land and through air and sea, but not with its land borders. And I think that the Eurozone will become a collateral damage of the political destabilization that we will be facing over the next several months. And again, this perspective for membership might be postponed, regardless of the very positive comments from the European institutions on that matter.
Spas, this was very useful. Thank you so much for deciphering this complex political situation in Bulgaria for us. The bottom line, it seems to me, is that despite the turbulence, Bulgaria is going to stay the course when it comes to the broader European picture, and that is probably one piece of positive news out of it.
Thank you very much, Adam, once more for the invitation, and as usual, it is a great pleasure talking to you. Thank you
so much.